Getting brutal, brutal with these dudes.
This is Petey Page.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
Listen, we were talking about Top Gun before we started recording, and I love that movie as a kid, and I love it now. It's the right amount of cheese, the right amount of ridiculous, the right amount of being super dramatic about, like, this could start the next Cold War. It's like, no, it fucking can't. You're running training exercise. It's
you're
the
in
it's great. It's great. And then, like, Val Kilmer just, like, you might have seen the scene where he does, like, he, like, bites his teeth at fucking Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise, like, doesn't flinch, and he's just like, yeah. It's so dumb. It's the dumbest, but in the best way possible.
It's so, I would argue, it's so great in a dumb way, but it's so great that it plays Danger Zone like 25 times throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And multiple times in its entirety throughout the movie. Like, it's not just like clips of it, which they also do, but it plays it in its entirety three or four times throughout the movie. Yeah. And the new Top Gun opens with Danger Zone and has another extended homoerotic sports scene in it.
I love it. So,
I mean, they know who their audience is.
Listen, I get it, because I remember in Force Awakens when they run to the Falcon. I knew they were going to be running to the Falcon. Did I care? No, because that's awesome. The reveal of the Falcon in that movie is the best part of that trilogy.
The reveal of shirtless men. Getting oiled up,
go, right,
and covered in sand. It's awesome.
In slow motion.
In slow motion.
Yeah. It is a slow motion volleyball beach scene. You're like, where did this come from? There's no planes overhead. There's no talk of the Russians. It's just a good like 3 minutes of volleyball and like no
shirtless
girls.
Volleyball. Just dudes barely dressed playing volleyball on a beach for minutes.
Doing great high fives.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got a volley, dude. Sometimes.
And then my problem with the new one, though, is that, like, obviously they did it on purpose because they know how infamous the scene is. So it builds up to it in like a really campy way. And then they're in this one, it's playing football on the beach, but they're all shirtless, wearing like jean shorts.
Do they have like a sweatshirt that's cut like right below the tits of the guy?
I wish they did. Yeah.
It says like Sanson Brothers or something, some fucking fake business.
University of American Samoa.
Yeah, right. I'm with stupid, and it's just pointing in all directions.
No, I'm with stupid with an arrow pointing down.
That's not right, a bad right idea. Dick. I'm with stupid with arrows all the way around it.
That's great.
Like whenever you walk anywhere, I feel like that's very good. That's okay. We should sell that. We
should.
Although I miss the era of like movies having a theme song. Like there's Danger Zone for that. The 90s Robin Hood had the Bryan Adams song,
dude.
Yeah.
And it's all for one. It's oh wait, no, that's not it. That's the Three Musketeers song. Bryan Adams. No, no, you're right.
It's on the Listen to Your Heart.
You no, that's not see. It. That's a different song. That's a different Bryan Adams song.
Hold on a minute.
Oh no, you're doing All for One. Listen to Your Heart is the All for One. That's Rod Stewart, Bryan Adams, and Sting. Who's the other guy in that? I'm Googling it.
My favorite part of the Robin Hood movie, because I keep forgetting he's in it, is Christian Slater's in it.
And he doesn't have an accent at all.
Yeah. And I've just blocked out that he was in it. I was watching so I've been on this weird Christian Slater kick lately, because I rewatched Pump Up the Volume recently, which I love that movie. That's just a great movie. If anyone hasn't seen it, I highly recommend it.
Sting. Rod Stewart, Bryan Adams, Sting. All for love. Yeah, that was Three Musketeers, the movie. Not the Musketeer. Three Musketeers with Chris O'Donnell.
The one for It's Everything I Do It For
everything
You. That's the one.
Everything I do.
Yep, that one.
I'm brutal dudes. Oh, wait. I thought we were doing another intro. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no. I was just on this Christian Slater kick. And of course, you know, your devices, you know, listen to you all the time. So as soon as I went on social media, it was like 10 best Christian Slater movies. Click this link. So I clicked on it. and I forgot he was in Robin Hood, and it has like a clip and they're all like trying to do accents and not him at all.
Here's the best part. His performance is one of the best parts of the movie. He does really good. I love that movie. Him in that
he's movie. Is he Little John or like the other?
He's Will Scarlet.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just like, Christian Slater in that movie. Yeah.
The and then the next thing that came up was, are you having problems with alcohol?
We see you're a big Christian Slater fan.
We see you're like Robert Downey Jr. and Christian Slater. Do you have a substance abuse problem?
How you doing, pal? Do you need to talk to somebody?
Suicide hotline.
Here's a link for betterhelp.com. Not a sponsor.
There was a great fake article. There's a website. It's like The Onion, but all music related stuff, called Hard Times. Mm-hmm. And there's a famous, so the meme of like, can you name three songs by the band whose t-shirt you're wearing? Where that started, most people are used to seeing those memes and joke videos online, but where that actually started was a goth band. Band's called Joy Division, and their first album cover is so famous that it was printed on t-shirts in like mainstream stores like Sears and Macy's and stuff.
Yeah,
would have t-shirts with that album cover, but people would buy it thinking it was a cool design and had no idea who it was. So that's where that meme started. It was like, name three things. So they did an article and it was like, we see you're a big Joy Division fan, name three things you're doing for your mental health.
They have the same thing happened with Operation Ivy.
Oh yeah.
Once Green Day got big, because that's the drummer from Green Day is Operation Ivy. And they had like one album and everyone's like, oh, I'm so punk. And they wear like an Operation Ivy shirt. And I'm like, did you get that at Hot Topic? Because that doesn't make you punk. That means you are a punk and I will fuck you up. But like, you're not punk rock because you wore an Operation Ivy shirt.
Especially because we all know the punk rock was just invented in the last couple of years by Machine Gun Kelly.
By Machine Gun Kelly, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah. Yeah. He's such a such an innovator.
Super punk rock. I'm trying to think of, no, you're right though. I've had this discussion with Mike before, I think, about theme songs for movies. I missed that, the idea of that, dude. Like remember the Animal House theme song that you can only get on the Animal House soundtrack?
Mm.
It's great. It's so stupid, but it's great.
Movie soundtracks used to be great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love it. I used to love when bands did original songs. I remember the last really good one that I can remember off the top of my head where they did an original song was Foo Fighters did a song called A320 for the Godzilla soundtrack with Matthew Broderick in it.
Okay.
And it was, that album was really good. That has the Puff Daddy Cashmere remix that everybody shit on him for, but I'm like, dude, he didn't do a bad job. Like, he literally goes on, I think he goes on record and saying, this song is like great.
Yeah, and he gave that guitar player nobody ever heard of a shot.
Yeah, right.
And now you see Led Zeppelin stuff everywhere.
Because of Diddy.
Yeah, because of Puffy.
But I was like, he even goes on record and he's like, what can I do to this song to make it better? It's already almost perfect. I just rapped over it because they wanted me to for this album. And I'm like, it's not bad. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah, Zeppelin wasn't a great band until fucking Diddy came along.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
I agree.
Early 90s is what.
Hot take, but I agree with Pete.
Well, welcome to Hot Takes with the brutal dudes.
Robert Plant didn't hit his stride until way after he started doing solo stuff.
Right.
Puffy made Zeppelin.
Sorry. I can't contain the laughter anymore.
It was actually originally called Zepp Diddy, but he was like, no, you guys need to call yourselves Leds.
He's like, guys, stop it. Stop riding my coattails. Go do your own thing.
Can you guys just listen? I can't even think of his name on my head. Mr. Bonham, can you please just be a better drummer?
Yeah.
Do weird things.
Oh my God.
Like what? What are you talking about, D? I'm already doing some weird things.
I don't know why, but just Diddy in that accent.
Diddy? What am I supposed to do? I don't know.
Diddy?
Play the drums to Moby Dick. He's like, hey, Roy, that sounds like a great idea.
Jesus Christ.
These blokes got good ideas over here on the other side of the pond.
An amazing movie soundtrack that I owned as a child and didn't realize how like fucking hard it went was the Space Jam soundtrack.
Yeah, dude.
Because my parents bought it for me because I loved the movie, but like they didn't realize that I was listening to like fucking Busta Rhymes and Coolio and like Snoop and all of those. They were all fucking on it, and all of those songs just fucking slapped. Like it wasn't just Fly Like an Eagle by Seal, Was it Seal?
Seal.
Was Seal.
What a great guy.
And
no, wait, wasn't Space Jam R. Kelly? Yeah, it was I Can Fly. It was R. Kelly.
Seal might be on there too, though.
No, that was R. Kelly. Why did I think Seal?
No, Seal is on there too.
Seal's big one was Batman.
Batman Forever.
Yeah, Batman Forever.
But yeah.
R. Kelly did a Batman too.
Probably.
No, he did. It's called Gotham City.
Yeah, R. Kelly was a great artist who has
his Gotham City.
His music has aged really well.
That's how it goes. That's a chorus. Gotham City. And he's on a rooftop with pigeons flying around. And he's singing R. Kelly style with his like
not bats. That's so weird.
No, I'm just saying. Now that you mention it, though, there's a fucking. First of all, that's the only U2 song that I'll ever admit to liking.
Oh, I agree.
Is "Hold Me, Throw Me, Kiss Me,
yeah,
Kill Me"?
Best U2 song. Yeah.
And there's a really, really good. Is it Flaming Lips? You're sort of stuck where you are. That song is great.
Flaming Lips on there.
Smash It Up by the Offspring. Another great song. There's a Method Man one called The Joker, but I don't think it's that good.
Yeah, there's a Method Man song. I think there's a... who else has a song on there that's really good? It's going to bug me now.
Prince was in the original
Batman. He was the original, yeah.
He's the man! Joker man!
I have the Party Man 12-inch vinyl.
Party Man?
Yeah, I have the 12-inch vinyl. Party Man! That's on all the time.
Nick Cave
has a song on the same one with the one that has the Method Man song and Hold Me, Throw Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me.
Actually, so and then speaking of those Batmans, the only thing that saves the fourth Batman, Batman and Robin, is on that soundtrack is the Smashing Pumpkins song.
Yeah.
The End is the Beginning is the End. That is quite possibly one of their top three songs ever. I fucking love that song. And that was like, I think, one of the last songs they did with the original lineup. But that song is great. The movie.
Do you like Smashing Pumpkins?
It's so tough for me to answer this question.
Because no, I get that. That's the same way I am with that.
Siamese Dream. I fucking worship that album. That's one of my top five albums ever. I can listen to it front to back. No problem. Soma. That's the first album, right? I think that's the first album.
Gish.
Love Gish.
Yeah.
All the way through. And then what's the other? Because there's two before Siamese Dream.
I don't know. You'd have to look it up.
I'm doing it now.
How do you fall on Smashing Pumpkins, Pete?
I was never a fan. I attempted to like listen, like musically, I guess they're good, but like just Billy Corgan is like nails on a chalkboard to me. Like his voice is just
I get that.
Can't do it. Yeah.
That's why the only Zeppelin song I like is the one with P. Diddy. Pisces is scary. There you go.
Those three albums.
Yeah.
Great. I highly enjoy. There's a lot of songs on Melancholy that I enjoy. And I'll be honest with you, as I get older, the songs that irritate me don't irritate me as much. So like 1979, I used to hate that fucking song. Like I would make people turn it off if it came on the radio. And it's on at work now sometimes, and I find it oddly bringing me back to my childhood. And I don't think it's for the reasons that he meant, because like the song is about remembering 1979 and like remembering like some good times in his life since he was like fully molested his whole childhood. But like it reminds me of how much I hated the song, but how much fun I used to have hating the song. So it almost has the opposite nostalgic effect, but it still brings
you nostalgia of how much you hate the song.
The times when I told people like, turn that fucking song up, I hate it. But we would be like driving in a truck on the way to the Jersey Shore and having a blast. And they would be laughing because I would be like freaking out about how much that song blows. And then I listened to it and I'm like, you know, it's really not that bad. Tonight, I hate.
Yeah.
Absolutely hate that song. The video is pretentious. I hate it. That was for me. That was when Billy Corgan turned, because Bullet with Butterfly Wings is a great song. And Zero is probably their best song. Hands down. It's just such a great anthem. I hear they're fantastic live. What's the song that they never released on an album that has fuck in it? Jesus something is Smashing Pumpkins, but it's like it's a rare song you can only like find like There's a video for it, but it's like it was never released on a compilation, and I don't even think he owns the song, but it's so good. And it's like that's what the Pumpkins used to be when like Today came out and all those. Mm-hmm. And then he released, I think it was, is it Ava Adore?
Yeah.
There's like two songs on there that I like. And then they released the B-sides and rarities. And there's a lot on that that I like, but that's because it's like stuff from back in the day. Mm. Like there's a really good cover of Rock On by like, hey kid, rock and roll, rock on. But then there's also a cover of Landslide, which is terrible because he tries to sing like Stevie Nicks. And it's fucking horrendous because Stevie Nicks is horrendous.
I was going to say, can you really tell the difference between Billy Corgan and Stevie Nicks?
Yeah, because like Pete said, it's nails. Stevie Nicks is like goats.
Goats on a chalkboard.
Yeah, goats on a chalkboard. There's the name of her next band. Because Christine McVie is dead. They can't do Fleetwood Mac anymore, so they have to do... they're going to do Goats on a Chalkboard. It's going to be a collab with Billy Corgan on guitar and fucking Stevie Nicks on vocals.
I'm with Pete, though, because I do totally like, I don't like Robert Plant's voice. So that always kept me out of Led Zeppelin. And then finally, Diddy fixed it. And I could enjoy at least one song. At least he did. Yeah.
And then everything pretty much since then from Pumpkins has just been like, there'll be like two songs that I like, but like everything seems to me like he's lost touch with like the original like the original Pumpkins vibe.
Mm.
And however, as a person, he's a weirdo, but he's got some fucking crazy stuff. Like, you know about his like alien abduction story, right?
No.
Oh, dude, you got to Google it on YouTube. It's Stern. Stern interviews him and he talks about when he was abducted by aliens. And he refuses to tell him some facts because he says he's saving it for a book he's going to write about his alien abduction and his belief on aliens.
Oh, my God.
It's okay. Psychotic.
Nice.
And Stern is literally like, I don't even have to do anything for this to be so weird. On the other hand, though, Corgan bought the NWA, the Wrestling Alliance, and is trying to restart the NWA to be a rival with Vince McMahon because he said he loves pro wrestling. And he has never been, it hasn't been the same since WWE has been the only thing. So he's trying to make another brand to bring that up, which I totally respect.
Mm.
On top of that, he's from Chicago, which is one of my favorite, which is my favorite city. And he's like a Cubs fan. And like, there's just so many things about him that I don't like. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen that documentary about when he tried to reform the band after he kicked whoever out.
No.
It's another really good music documentary. Me and Mike were talking about music documentaries earlier today. That one is fantastic. I don't know what it's called, but it's really good. And it's about the album. It's about the album with the song from that was on Transformers.
Okay.
Tarantula is the name of the song, I think, or Doomsday Clock. That might be the name of the album. It was the first album of the reformed Smashing Pumpkins where it was like, gotcha. Corgan was the leader and yeah. Everybody, it wasn't just, we were in a band. It's like Corgan picked who was in the band and then gets to like Chris. And he's like super critical of all the members and how they perform. And they're like, fuck you, dude, you hired us. Like we can quit this job. And it causes all this backstage drama. It's really good, but like,
I'll have to check that out.
It's not as good as Some Kind of Monster, but it's good.
Mm.
But that being said, like, so, yes, I guess you could say percentage-wise, I do like the Pumpkins, but their new stuff, I remember the one album I bought, it might be Oceana or one of them I bought, and I was like, this is absolute trash. Like, this is one of the worst albums I've ever bought in my life.
They're one of those bands to me, they're super prolific, and I think what happens, I respect that with bands and artists, but I think when that happens, you're going to get a much higher percentage of stuff you don't like mixed in there as well.
Yeah. So. And that's what sucks. Like I remember when the Stone Temple Pilots, which is one of my favorite bands of all time, did the album where Scott Weiland was off drugs. And as sad as it is to say, because he's dead, it was a horrendous album. Like there's not even one track on the album, I think, that I enjoy at all. There's a couple that I can tolerate, but like, it's almost like you need to wipe that clean. And what the shame is he probably had so much more shit to give. They just let him do so many drugs while he was doing the original albums that's how he got comfortable writing that vibe of music. And he couldn't get out of it because they're just, I don't know. It was just, yeah, it's very sad.
You're not supposed to say stuff like this, but there are bands who are better on drugs. Yeah. And it's fucked up to say. And it's not because drugs are making them better. It's because drugs change your personality.
Yeah.
So what the fans are responding to is the personality of them on drugs, not the, and then you're getting a different version of them.
Yeah.
When they're off drugs, and it's not the same thing.
Yeah. And it's not, and no offense to the Son of Devil Pilots, it's not nearly as good.
Right.
That's why, like, when they did the stuff with the guy from Linkin Park, like, nobody cared because it's like, not
because it was the guy from Linkin
Park. Well, that too, but like, but also because it was like, if this isn't Stone Temple Pilots,
right?
Like, I think a lot of bands feel like because AC/DC was successful with changing singers, and a couple of bands have had success like switching or stuff around.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all bands just assume that they can do it when there's like a problem with the band, and like really, a lot of bands you can't. Like, you can't have Stone Temple Pilots without Scott Weiland because Scott Weiland was the personality of the band. I think the guy, the guitarist name is Dean. I don't know his last name, and he's a great guitarist. But I know that band because of Scott Weiland. That's why I know that band. Another big hit off of a good movie soundtrack. It's, I don't know if it's an original song, but it's like, but Big Empty.
From The Crow, yeah.
That probably was a good soundtrack too. I feel like there's a bunch of,
yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on there.
Slappers on that.
The second Crow movie had an equally good soundtrack too.
Judgment Night is one of my favorite soundtracks. Yeah. That had rap and rock guys together
before new metal.
Yeah. But it was cool. There's a what is it? Helmet and House of Pain. Mm-hmm. Just Another Victim is the name of the song. It actually was Taz the Wrestler's theme song for a really long time because it's such a fucking hard song. I know Dinosaur Jr. did one with Del the Funky Homo Sapien on there. And Cypress Hill did one with
Sonic Youth.
Yeah. And then didn't Sir Mix-a-Lot do one too? I think Sir Mix-a-Lot did a song with somebody too.
I'm not sure, but Sir Mix-a-Lot has done rock songs.
Sir Mix-a-Lot's cool as shit, probably. Yeah. I feel like he's like one of those early rappers that's like legitimately like a good dude.
He seems cool. I always liked that Judgment Night soundtrack had Booyah Tribe on it.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like they're an underrated rap group that not enough people talk about.
I remember when, speaking of rap rock, when Cypress Hill did their rock album,
mm-hmm.
It's really good.
I'm a huge Cypress Hill fan.
I love that fucking, yeah. That album was great, dude. Oh man, I remember listening to that. And what's the one with "You Can't Get the Best of Me"? That song, it gets me so fucking pumped. And the rap song off that album, "Cuban Necktie." That's the one that I like. That Be Real did. I like Cypress Hill a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, no movie soundtracks anymore. Like I mean, Huey Lewis doing the Back to the Future theme. Back in Time, like that's an epic song. That's like one of his best songs. I remember. The Ghostbusters theme. I mean, even more than that, like the song,
which Huey Lewis sued over.
Yeah, right. there's like three or four other songs off the Ghostbusters albums that like were hits that you don't realize were on the Ghostbusters album. Like, didn't Bobby Brown have the second one from Ghostbusters 2? And it's up to us. We've got to
probably
take
control.
Ooh, yeah, was that Bobby Brown?
That'd be Bobby Brown.
Maybe, but also Higher. Like, well, that Higher was what activated the the fucking Statue of Liberty.
Taking me higher.
Yeah.
I also like. Do you guys remember from Slapshot? It's called it's Maxine Nightingale is the song. It's the only song really that's heavy in the movie. But it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
We got it.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I could have never told you what that song was called. I know the song, but yeah.
I have this weird thing when I'm into something, I like especially music, I'll look into like the artist that did it and then like check their whole back. It's almost like the movie tick that I have, but it's like I'll check their whole back catalog to listen to their stuff. So, like, I've heard demos from bands that, like, you didn't even know had demos that were out there. I've heard them. Like, I've heard Incubus's first couple of songs when they were in high school because we were really big Incubus fans, me and my friend Matt. So we, like, scoured the earth for every Incubus song we could find.
Mm-hmm.
In which I found a couple of really good ones recently, but their new songs all pretty much blow. I don't like them with the Roots old bass player. I think that iteration of the band there was like one or two good albums, but I think it was more because those songs were already written before he got there. Mm. And then once he started having a say, it sucks. Like, I think there's been three songs they haven't even, I don't even know if they released them, but they were off the new albums. They have eight albums and there's like four that I actually enjoy listening to. The rest of them, you get like one or two songs and you're good. But they do a really good cover of, I think it's Let's Get Crazy by Prince. It might be on Jimmy Fallon. It's on a talk show, but they do a good live cover of that. Yeah, it's Jimmy Fallon because they do it with the Roots. That's really good. And they do a cover on Stern, which it's a good cover, but like Stern kind of messes it up because it's Immigrant Song by Zeppelin. And it's a really good cover, but Stern does the, and it's just way off key. And it's Stern. It's funny. And it was a great bit. It was cool. But like, they actually play a really cool funky version, like heavy funk metal version of it. And
unfortunately, Diddy never did.
Diddy never, yeah. He
didn't. Vanilla Ice covered it though, so I feel like you can.
Yeah, you went dun 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 dun. But yeah, no, I feel like there's a lot of movie soundtracks from back in the day, and they just don't do it as much anymore because I don't even know why. Like, you'd think that bands could, because
it's funny.
Yeah, but you'd think that like bands would do it more often. Because you could release a track that's tied to a movie and automatically have money every time that movie gets played or streamed or whatever. And whenever the song gets streamed, so you're almost getting twice the money. If I don't have any idea how the monetary.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Which is why studios don't do it anymore. Cause they have to keep paying. They have to keep paying the artist. Man, out of it.
I was saying, like, you know, what would be really cool is to take like a couple of movies that don't have themes. Like, remember The Goonies Are Good Enough by Cyndi Lauper? Like, that's a fucking epic song.
She's so hot.
Except her voice. Like, her talking voice, not her singing voice. Her talking voice is, like, so New York Jewish.
I accidentally met Cyndi Lauper.
Accidentally met her?
Yeah.
Were you going to pastrami at a deli or something?
No, I was, bang. I was at, like, a record store. And she had just come out.
The Wu-Tang album.
Yeah. She was like, they ain't nothing to fuck with. And I was like, right, Cyndi.
Did you ever hear these guys? Like, yeah. Protect your neck, bro.
She's like, you into Capadonna? And,
she's like, you know, Street Life and Icarus? They're the side pieces for them bands.
She's like, the one dude cut his dick off.
I've been listening to this band Booyah Tribe like crazy.
She's like, Occupation Hazardous is my shit.
Rest in peace, Dirt McGirt.
No, I was at a record store and they had like, there was like an EP that she had put out or something. And I was like, Cyndi Lauper. And like, I said it like out loud, like picking up, and the record store guy was there, like walking by. He's like, oh, you want to meet Cyndi Lauper? I was like, what? He's like, yeah, we're having like a party with Cyndi Lauper and she's going to like play and like hang out and stuff. He's like, you want to come? He's like, I'll just get you a pass for it. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, the answer is yes.
Yeah. So I have an autographed Cyndi Lauper CD and I got to meet her and talk to her and cool, stuff. Dude. Yeah. It was pretty cool. And she played, and she didn't play like one or two songs. She played like 8 or 10 songs, like did like a mini show. It was good. She was good.
We did. I have a similar story, but it's one of my embarrassing stories. So we used to go to this place in New Jersey called the Birch Hill Nightclub. I don't know if you remember what it was. It was like a, it was like a lodge, like a meeting lodge for whatever, the fucking Elks.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have shows there, and it was a really great venue because it was like a three level. So there was like the stage level, and then the stage was up there. And then there was a second level you could go on if you didn't want to be in the pit, that would be separate from the pit. And then there was
cool.
A third level where you could hang out and get drinks in the back. So it was like, but it was like a theater stage setup. And
I do always like it if there's room for people who don't want to be in the pit to not be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They closed. I always said that should always be an option at a show because like some people just don't want to be part of the pit, but like some people really do. And I don't think you should fault either one because I like being in the pit, but sometimes I don't want to violently dance to music.
Yeah.
And it's like, there are times when I do. Like, you know, every once in a while, Jackson Brown will come on and I'll just want to fucking thrash.
Right.
But like,
I get it.
You know what I mean? Like, go
for me. It's when I come around from Green Day.
It's Steve. Nice. You hear Steve Winwood and you just get the rage going.
Oh, for me, it's Michael McDonald.
Oh, that's a good one.
Y'all will be there. Y'all will bust your fucking face.
Whatever will be, will be. Is that him? That's him, right?
No, that's Eddie Money.
Oh, shit. What's Michael McDonald? Oh, he's
Doobie Brothers?
Yeah, Doobie Brothers. I was going to say he's... I wake up every morning, No, that's the different. That's BTO, isn't it? Fuck! What's wrong with me today? I don't know who the Doobie Brothers are. God damn it. Now, what was I saying? I thought I was portraying that. Oh, so we were there and we were seeing... we actually went to see Incubus there when they were like still not huge.
Right.
This was off of... this was when Make Yourself came out. So they were big, but they weren't big, big.
Right. They weren't on the radio all the time.
Kubistank, who I don't know if you guys know this, went to high school with Incubus. They all went to the same high school. They're buddies. Doug Robb, which is the lead singer of Hoobastank. Hoobastank came on and it was their first album. And that first album from Hoobastank is great. It's a great rock album. Everything since then has kind of been mediocre. I like a lot of their songs, but it's like, they're not as good as that first album. That first album is great.
I'm going to say that Hoobastank is a great band name. I know they got a lot of shit for that name, but I still remember that Hoobastank exists because of that name.
Yeah.
Could not name you one of their songs.
Oh, dude.
But I know that they exist because of the name.
And we've been crawling in the dark. They did a Target EP when Target was like starting to, when Target like first became a store big time. They did an EP that was just released at Target and has a song called The Critic that's really good. Side note. So so anyway, we're outside and Doug Robb, which is the lead singer, is out there and he's literally hanging with fans. So there's a group of fans that were just outside, like on the way out the door after the Incubus show was over. Doug was outside talking to fans. He was giving out CD singles of Crawling in the Dark,
which
was a song they had released.
Yeah.
And he was signing them and then talking to people. And I made this comment that it was a totally thoughtless comment. And I had I have a tendency to make thoughtless comments. I don't know if you guys have picked that up yet, but sometimes I say things and I regret them after I say them. So this was one of those times when it actually really kicked me in the head and I felt bad about saying something. I very rarely feel bad about what I say. Sometimes I'm like, I probably shouldn't have said that, but like, it's over. It's said, like, we just got to all move on. Like, you know,
I hear that Hoobastank, just move on.
Yeah, just move on, Hoobie. Stankies. So, Doug Robb was there and he was like, hey, you guys, and we came up, we walked up and he goes, hey, you guys want, you want a CD and copy? I was like, yeah, free shit. I love free shit. Thinking it was like a funny comment. And like a couple people chuckled and Doug was like, oh, okay. And he like signed it and handed it to me. And I was like, I just totally degraded the cool performance that I liked inside because it was the first time we'd ever heard them. And I was like, they were fucking awesome. And I literally just made him feel like the only reason I'm here is to get free shit off of him. And I actually really enjoyed his music. And I didn't even get to like go up and be like, dude, I really love that. Like, right. That was a great, like, you guys did good, and the album is really good. And I genuinely felt like bad. I was like, I actually feel bad that I did that. Like,
so what you're saying is, we need to track down Hoobastank, get you in touch with them so that you can
apologize.
Yeah. This is a public apology to Hoobastank from
GMX. Absolutely. Hoobastank right will come on. Hoobies. Let me be real with you.
Hoobs.
Let me be real with you. If you come on, I will publicly apologize for that. My scruples are not there for this. I still to this day feel pretty bad about it. And even my friend Matt was like, dude, you look like an asshole to that guy. And I was like, fuck. Yeah, I do, don't I? And he goes, no, you legit. I'm your friend and I'm telling you, you look like an asshole to that guy. I'm like, well, thanks, Matt.
How great would it be if we like invite them on? They're like, Jimmy Mack? Nope.
We invite them on and they're like, oh, is that
fucking this fucking guy? Absolutely.
They're like, not.
He goes, or they come on and they're like, and we're like, yeah, man, we really love you guys. Oh, do you? Free stuff.
We've just been waiting. How long ago was that?
God damn. I was like in my 20s, so 25.
25 years?
No, 25. I was 25.
Oh, you were 25.
I'm 40 now, so that's...
don't make me math. That's 15 years.
15.
So
15 years!
They're going to come on and be like, we've waited 15 years to say this
for this apology. You get on your knees, you bitch. You'll be crawling in the dark up to us to say you're sorry, you son of a bitch. Now, there was some cool stuff at the Birch Hill, though. We saw So Seven Dust there, and the power went out. And then right as the power comes back on, our friend who was late because he had to stay at work and drive from here to Oxford Valley to all the way there, ended up showing up right at, and the show had just started. It was the beginning of the first song when the power went out. They got the power back on, so they finished the first song. So he didn't miss any of the show, and he was like a half hour late for the start of the show. It was great. The rest of the show was so hype. I think we sent my cousin crowd surfing like three times. I'm pretty sure he touched a boob by accident when he was crowd surfing, and the late girl didn't even care. I'm not 100% sure if that was that show, but I'm pretty sure he said, I was just fucking crowd surfing and I accidentally reached my head.
That happens. I was at a Broadway play.
Crowd surfing? That's crazy.
Crowd surfing.
Yeah.
I was at My Fair Lady and I just reached up and grabbed a boob.
They were like, first off, it was inappropriate to start a mosh pit at Les Mis.
No, that's an appropriate show to start a mosh pit at. They're fighting for they're fighting for food, man. Yeah. Wait, throw them both.
Is that my from last week?
Yes, yes.
You should probably put that in the fridge.
Yeah, it's fine.
Don't let me eat that ketchup ever again.
Yeah, you're fine. It's ketchup.
Ketchup sits at room temperature in the grocery store. It's fine.
If it's vacuum sealed.
It's still vacuum sealed. It's fine.
There's so much fucking chemicals in it. You're fine. Yeah.
Look, Steve's there. He's fine.
Ultimate Warrior's there. It's fine. Ultimate Warrior's
still there. Put a little ketchup on Steve.
Dip the warrior in ketchup and lick his foot. Lick my boots, you fuckers.
I remember I was going with this.
He said,
you were at a Broadway play.
Oh,
Broadway,
yeah. I was at Les Mis in Broadway. And I wasn't crowd surfing, but I accidentally, they like piled us in and we were like, I kept accidentally slapping this woman's ass.
What?
And it happened like 8 or 9 times. Not like once. And it happened at different times.
You're like, I have this tick where my arm just whips out and smacks. I'm sorry.
And it was like that. It just kept happening. Believe
you keep smacking the arse.
And I just, every time I got like more apologetic, I'm like, I swear to God, I'm not doing this on purpose.
Jesus.
And then like the last time, all of a sudden, Sir Mix-a-Lot jumps out of the crowd. He's like, bum, 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 bum.
The last time we were leaving the theater, so I wasn't even like, I didn't even know she was there. And I was talking to somebody and I like spun around in my head and hit somebody's head. So I was like, not again. It was the same fucking lady. And she's like, that was for the road, right?
I think she was cool.
No, she was cool about it because she knew I wasn't doing this on purpose.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's awesome.
They waited for whatever. We were a big group of people going to the theater, so they wouldn't seat us until like other people were seated, but we weren't together. So like, because it was such a big group, it was like through a school thing. So it was such a big group. A lot of the seats were scattered. So now we're crawling over people trying to get into this. And it wasn't like huge theater. So we're trying like shoving through people and stuff. So I just kept banging into this one lady and she kept getting up like throughout the thing.
That's
because
Rocky.
Yeah.
It's not how many times you get smacked in the ass. It's how many times your ass gets back up. That's how winning is done.
So it just turned into me smacking this lady's ass over and over again throughout the play. She was cool about it though. I was like, I'm so sorry. Something cool
like Les Mis or Waddles. Les Mis or Jiggles. Oh man.
But movie soundtracks, yeah.
Yeah, movie soundtracks. This is the